Lord, our Heavenly Father, tune our minds and our understanding to understand exactly what the writer intended as we study the original language. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, your task, of course, was to translate 1 John 5:12, right? And how many of you had some problems? Okay. All right, let's take care of the problems first. What was the biggest problem you had, Mark?
The biggest problem was getting used to the dictionary.
Okay.
You know, I know with an all reference, it's going to take time.
Right.
I did not get the second word of the word.
Echon. 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 Yeah, that's...
I could not find that, and I could not find the derivative of it.
Okay, look in your dictionary and look up echo. It should look like this. How many of you have it? Got it, Mark?
I have
it. Okay. Now see, if you'd have simply went E, epsilon, then he, then omega, and you try to look up echon, you wouldn't find it. So you just simply look around to see which one's close and which is the closest. Echo.
Well, that's what I did. I think last time you said that the second word was the one.
No. No, the first word is the one. That can't be the one. Echo.
Okay, you're right.
Is from I have. See, and what you have there is a verb in the present active indicative form. That's the way it'd be found in the dictionary. So this is the way you'll find it, okay? And it's one of it's called an omega verb. It ends in omega in its present active form. So that's the way it'll be listed. Then you have another type of verb that is called an imi verb. And it looks like this, and that's the form that you'll find in the dictionary. Like istimi, okay, meaning to stand or to stand firm. So this is the one category of verbs. This is the more popular, the omega verbs. So what you simply have here is echon. All right? Well, this is the terminate. That's the part that changes this verb into a participle.
We haven't gotten into that
yet. No, but still, you should be able to find this.
I did.
Okay. So the best you could have done with that is the one have the son. Well, that doesn't really come out nicely. So you would say the one having, and that's the way you would translate a participle in English.
Now, at the end of the word.
Oh, wait a okay, you had problems with the end of the verse?
Well, I think it's the same word.
Yeah, now that is echi from echo.
Well, okay, I suspected that, but I still didn't see any of those endings in this listing of books.
You won't find them that way. You'll only find the present, active, indicative, first person, singular. Exactly. And then, for instance, this paradigm, okay, goes like this. All, you remember it? And then over here we have usin, ete. No, it's omen, I'm sorry. No. Omen is the echomen, we have. Echo, I have. Ehi, that's what you have there. He, she, or it has. Ehis, you have. So it's o, is, e, okay? Omen ete usin. That's the breakdown of the present active indicative omega verbs. Well, you don't know that yet, but at least you found this. Echo is translated I have. And see, what they simply do is to say, you have echis. She, he, or it has echi. Okay? We have echomen. Echete. Okay? And echusen. That's the breakdown. First person singular, second person singular, third person singular, first person plural, second person plural, you all have, echete, and usin, third person plural. That's the breakdown. But that really, you don't know that yet. But that's okay, because you should have been able to, at least, that's why I gave you this, I figured you could at least play with it. Because here's what you have so far in the translation. You have a definite article, all. Right? So that's referring to a person. But there's no noun after it. All. Echon. Ton. Ion. Right? Is that the way it looks? Okay. The one having. Now here's the direct object. What does he have? The son. This you would have found. This is a typical second declension, right? From eos. This is the accusative form because there's the accusative definite article. The both of them are right together. The one having the son. And then ehi, this one, this one that I just spoke about. He, see, eki, he, has the, what? That's from Zoe. No. No, he has life. The one having the son has life. Or the life. What kind of life is it talking about? Eternal life or spiritual life? See, that's the whole idea. Then, now you have a contrast. The one, okay, me. That's a negative. There's only two negatives in Greek. Me is one of them, uk is the other one. Okay? In modern Greek, then is another. Then echo. What did I just say to you? Echo. What's echo? Echo. I have. Then echo. I do not have. Right. Echis dinero. I'm using Spanish now because you wouldn't understand krimata. Okay. Echis krimata, you'd say, then echo. In New Testament Greek, you'd say, uk echo. Simple enough. Now, what they did in Greek is they simply put the negative so that you would know that you're on negative ground. The one, all right, me, not, and then we have, having again, the one not having the son, now we have a genitive modifier. Now the son is called more than just simply the son. What's he called? The son of God. The one not having the son of God, the life, he does not have. How did I get it right? Without looking it up first. How did you feel after you looked it up? And did you look it up after that? You feel good? All right? No, it's... Again, let's go over it. It starts with an article. All right? And then you have the article is simply... Since there is no noun expressed, it's the one. Now, in this case, it's masculine. So you wouldn't say the man, because it's the generic use of the article here. Okay? This is just simply good grammar. Remember, the option in grammar, whether English or Greek, is to refer to an individual as he. Of course, with the libbers, they want to make it she. But that's absurd. It's bad grammar. The rule of grammar is that you use he when you're not, when you don't know. Occasionally, we use it, the neuter, in English, but not in Greek. See, the neuter in Greek would follow the neuter nouns. All right, so here you don't have a noun expressed, so you have to place it in. It would be parenthesized. The, parenthesis, one, okay? You have to interject that. Then, this is the present active participle from echo. The one having the direct object, and there is, you know that because that's the accusative singular article. Now you see now this is why I wanted you to memorize those articles. And I can also appreciate the fact that some of you are going to take an awful lot of time looking these words up because you haven't memorized the alphabet yet. That's what it boils down to. You should be able to zip right through it. Know that a he is way at the end of the... Right? At least it's not at the beginning. So if you go epsilon, you know that's alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. All right, now we got that one. We know that it's after the what? The delta. And it's before the eta. But now the he... All right, where does the he come in? It's way in the back, isn't it? Near the Z, isn't it? It's near the omega. So you know it's going to be in the E section, but way in the end of the E section. I noticed that Mark was turning page by page. Oh, well, that tells me you don't know the alphabet. That's important. And if you don't know the articles, then you can't identify this as a direct object. We know that the accusative is the direct object. So, the one having the son. Now we have a present active indicative. This is a verb from echo again. He has. Who's he now? The he again is expressed. It's understood. What's the antecedent of he has? The one having. See it? From Echon, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't have my dictionary here, so I just got it. Where is this now? Yeah, well, see, that's... You're going too far. You're going far too far. All I want you to do is look up the dictionary and the primary meaning of the word. You're going into modified personal pronouns when a present active indicative is modified and it's used in the middle participial form. You don't know any of that. No, all I want you to do is look up the word echo, meaning what? To have. That's it. Yeah, but see, notice down at the bottom, it also has u dos ehi. Yeah, it's got to be in that form for it to be translated, it is so. Unfortunately, there's a break there. If you see the beginning of the parentheses and the end of the parentheses, that's the way it would, in that form, it would be translated, it is so. Exactly. All right. Tin Zoin? Yeah, well that... Yeah, well that dot, what did we say that was? What was that, a semicolon? Bob? The semicolon. No, if it's at the bottom, it's a period. But see, in English, we use two of them. Okay, we do this in English. Or this. That's a colon, that's a semicolon, right? The Greeks just simply did that. And remember, that's the Greeks of those that compiled this text. Because in the original text, there were no punctuation marks at all. They were all in capitals and no spaces between the words. That's the original text. And so what they did is they try to come up with... The real task here, and I think it was absolutely monumental, and it was done mostly by German scholars, was to derive a grammar from the text. It's always easier when you have the grammar, you know, you have the grammar book, and then you go to the text with these rules involved. So what they had to do is they had to see the pattern, and they said, well, there it is. And it appears, yep, that's accusative. Okay, so they called it the accusative. Now, for instance, the aorist, there was a grammatical usage in Attic Greek called the chorist. And so that ended up being the aorist. And the aorist tense in New Testament Greek is the same as it were in Attic Greek. And they did have... the grammars of Attic Greek. Unfortunately, Attic Greek and New Testament Greek don't always follow the same rules. So they had to go into the text and then say, all right, and then after all that was done, then other scholars came up with singular rules. One, for example, is the Granville Sharp's rule, and it was a man by the name of Granville Sharp. And he saw something in the text, and every time that appears, you call that the Granville-Sharp's rule. And what it is where you have articles and a noun, okay? You have two articles and one noun, and the noun refers to the two articles. And it's used equatively. Like if it said, God the Son... It would refer to the fact that this is not only God, or rather, the Son of God, as it's translated. It would actually be saying, the Son of God, who in fact is God. See? And that's the rule he came up with. And it follows throughout, and whenever you see that, and so he came up with this, and then others came up with others. Like I said, the one grammar book that I have at home is about, I would say at least 4 inches thick. And it stands about 12 inches high and is about 10 inches wide. And that's by A.T. Robertson. A phenomenal, voluminous thing of grammars. And then the littlest one I have is about a half inch thick. It's a quick grammar. You know, you just kind of... And what you're going to get is going to be about a tenth of an inch thick. Because I'm just going to give you the basics. I can't go into it at great length because We don't have the time for that. What I'm getting at is we would have to be studying this every night for at least 2 hours a night. And then you'd begin to appreciate. Then we could really get into it. So what I'm just going to be dropping things on you, and you're going to have to pick up some of these things on your own as you're going along, especially as I'm teaching. You'll find it more exciting when I say to you, this is a present active participle from echo, and you say, oh, I know that. I know what a present active participle is, at least. We'll go into what the forms are and how they're translated. I don't expect you to memorize the paradigms of the verbs and the participles. You say, why? Because there are hundreds of them. They start on this side. If I had a sheet, typewritten, verb of the omega classification, they start here, and they end here. Because what I gave you was present, active, indicative. Present, active, indicative. All right, now we have present, middle. They're all different. Present, passive. They're all different. All right, now we've already got how many? 18 right there. Right? Now we're going to go into the other moods. Present, active, subjunctive. Different. Present, middle, subjunctive. Present, passive, subjunctive. Different again. Present, active, imperative. Whoa, now we go through the whole thing again. Now we've got 18 times 18 times 18 times 18, and it just goes on and on and on. And surprisingly, put your mind at rest, I can look at one and tell you what it is, just by virtue of the fact that I've used it all these years. Some of them stump me. I look and I say, get the book out. Now all I do is go, and it comes right up on the computer and tells me exactly what it is. But then I have to rely on what? That the guy that programmed that program knows what that word is. And occasionally I argue with the translation only because sometimes endings are the same. For example, the present active indicative and the present active imperative in a certain form is identical. An example. in the Lord's Supper, this do ye as oft as ye do it in remembrance of me. Okay? All right, that's translated as a present active imperative. You do this in remembrance of me. Now, translate that, and it would be the spelling is the same. Translate it in the present active indicative. You are doing this in remembrance of me. The one is saying, you better do it. The other one is saying, you're doing it. Does it change the translation? Yes. I haven't heard anybody argue the present active imperative in that particular passage. But there are those that will argue whether it's imperative or indicative. I guess the liberals would say they were doing it, and the conservatives would say they weren't and they should have been. We always tend to look at things a bit negative. The more realistic side, knowing people in general, and the liberals like to butterfly around the room, fluttering their wings. Okay. All right, so the one having the son, he has... Now, I'm really amplifying this. Now, we have teen zoin. Now, if you were to parse this, if you were to break this down, what would you say? Teen zoin is from what? From? E. Zoe. And what is the declension? No, declension. First. Yeah, first. As a matter of fact, it's the alpha category, or the A category of your first declension. The one I gave you last week. Yeah, if you were to go through this, this is the way you would do it. If you were sitting in a classroom situation, this is what you would do. Here's how you do it. You'd say, oh, nominative singular definite article, masculine. Echon, present active participle from echo. Okay? Ton, accusative singular, masculine. From what? Oh, that would be the nominative form. Ion, the accusative, masculine, singular, from eos. You know how they say this in Bible school, by the way? Huios. Don't ask me why. It's eos. You'll notice, by the way, that if you listen carefully, it's not just Y-O-U-S. It's not eos. It's eos. Hear it? There's a little I in there. That picks up the epsilon at the beginning. And then ehi, this would be from echo. In this case, it's present active indicative. And it is third person singular. Then teen is the article, accusative, feminine, singular. Zoin, accusative, singular, from Zoe. All. Nominative singular. Definite article. Me. Negative. Which is, you don't give that any quality. Just say it's negative. Okay? Echon. Present active participle from echo. So that would be translating the one who does not have. Okay, you have to put all those words in there. The one not having is how you're translating it. Ton, ion, again we have the same as the previous, but now we have an addition. Tu Theou, the son belonging to God, but we don't say it that way, we simply say God's son. The one not having God's son, the life, which life? The life previously mentioned. Now we have uk, he does not have. Now there is a rule, by the way, which you don't know yet, but just believe me, that me is used before certain words and uk is used before certain words. It's just simply a rule. So that's a clue. When you see me, then you'll know. When we get to that, I'll give you that somewhere down the line, way down the line. Just know that me and uk are the two negatives. Whenever you see those before a word and there's a verb after it, it negates it. All right, here's how the King James translates it. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's it. The Greek simply says, and the one not having the Son of God, the life, he does not have. Okay, any other problems? Yes. Yeah, but you know that Theou is talking about God, so yeah. Okay. Yeah, now, if you just had it that way, you would opt for either one. But in this case, you have Theou, and you know that's from Theos.
Right, and that's obvious. But
yeah. Yeah, that's why I gave you an obvious text. Some of them get a little complicated. You wonder, you know. Now, Peter is one of these who gets a bit complicated. Paul is not that complicated. In English he is, but not in Greek. John is the simplest one of all. Luke gets a little bit... the book of Hebrews is not too easy. But Peter is not the easiest Greek to study. Okay, let's get back to the... any other questions on that text? I'm going to give you another one to do. Well, I'm going to give you one anyway. See, I'm trying to give you one that you don't know by memory. Because if you, I'm trying to give you something that is in fact easy. There's one here that I, yeah, but you probably wouldn't know this. All right, try a 4:15. Yeah, 1 John. That's your assignment for next time. Some of you might even be able to translate it right where you're sitting, because there are a lot of words there that I've used repeatedly in class. But anyway, try that. Okay, any other questions? Yes. No. No. Mm-mm. No, you mean in verse 12, the one for, yeah, no. No, that would be the equative verb, and this is not an equative verb. I know what you're looking for is the istin. Drop down to verse 14. Que afti istin y para isia. You see that? Okay, istin there is the equative verb, and it's equating confidence with the one who's believing. He has confidence because he believes. So there's an equation there. Equative verbs, by the way, tend to equalize two thoughts. Plus, in some cases, it makes them emphatic. It's simply translated is, but it's a strong is. You know, that's how we do it in English. But in Greek, they just simply change the word. Imi is another one, but istin is from imi. Bob calls it imi. Okay. Any other questions on that verse? What you really have, one of the other reasons I use this is because I figured if you found one verb, echo, then you could see all the different uses of the word in that same, that's used four times there. Twice it's used having, because it's a participle, and then twice it's has, and then plus the negative, has not. He has not, he has, the one having the son. You'll notice too, if you have your dictionary in front of you, that the word echo can also mean to possess or to hold. To hold on to. Isn't that a part of it, from echo? Doesn't it have hold? There's a better word for that in Greek. The what? Yeah. When the Amplified Bible came out, It was quite interesting to some because they took verses like this and they put every single word in that as it could be translated. The one having, having hold, having received, having possession of. Okay? The Son, i.e. the Son of God, the third person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. See, that's how they amplified it. He has, he possesses, he has life, eternal, life, everlasting. And it goes on and on and on. See, yeah, the verses were huge. For instance, John 3:16, for God so wonderfully and marvelously loved, had a relaxed mental attitude with regard to mankind, that he gave, he sent, he allowed his Son to come into the world to die for mankind, that whosoever, that means anyone that does, who comes to him on the ground, and so on, may, absolutely does, have life, everlasting, eternal, without end, period. But you see, it helped some, and it became rather redundant to others, and in fact, eventually, it kind of fell off the market. But if I have a copy, it's called the Amplified Bible. You'll hear others call the expanded translations, and what they do is they just simply stick in as many adjectives or words that will that could be translated from that. And so again, if you notice, when I was praying, I said something about getting the exactness of the intention of the writer. Well, I think here possession is involved. He that possesses the Son. So you could be a little stronger than having. And then somebody would say, having what? Just having knowledge of? No, this has to do with having in the sense of having believed in. See, because when you study the context, you'll see that the next verse, Duta egrapsa, these things I wrote to you in order that you may know you have eternal life. Why? Because you believed in him. See, so having and believing are used here very, very strongly together. Tuta should be let's see, these things, it's the demonstrative, so it might be from afta. Yeah, try afta, and I think you'll find it there. From aftos, afti, afta. That's the afta would be the neuter. It could be a personal pronoun or it could be a demonstrative pronoun. In this case, with the taf in front of it, it's a demonstrative. These things. See, and you notice the alpha ending. So that helps you to know at least. Remember we studied this before? I tried to give you some understanding of the there is the nominative form of the personal pronoun. Okay? All right, what would the genitive form be? Yeah. See, here's your endings again, see? And then it would be and afton, see? There's your accusative. You can almost see the articles right there. There's three of the articles right in. So if you had an article in front of it, it'd be o aftos, tu aftu, to afto with a subscript, and then ton afton. And then if you put this in front of it, tafton, that makes a demonstrative. And a demonstrative pronoun is like pointing your finger. This one. This thing. Get the idea? You're being very specific. The others are relative pronouns. The afto, aftu, afta, and so on. Afta would just be translated things, these things. But tafta, these things. And so you see he's emphasizing in verse 13, these things, and having pointed to them, then you realize that there is a reflection part here. What things? That he that has the Son has life. Now, I think I told you this last time, but if you're looking up a word and it just doesn't appear, and it has an epsilon or an eta in front of it, go for the next letter and try to find that in its form, because this may be used as an augment. What you might have in front of you is an aorist tense, and aorist tenses have augments in them. There's a clue there too, because what happens is the I don't want to try to confuse you there. Remember, I talked about the sigma infix plus the epsilon augment illustration. Look at verse 13. You see the second word there, right? It's from e. Gra, psa. Okay, this is from grafo. I write. To put a sigma, remember I showed you this last time. If you combine a sigma with a phi, very difficult to pronounce. You'd have a. Here's what you'd have. So you'd have gra. What happened here? Okay. Grafa. See, so what they did is they just simply made it a psi, and you say grapsa, ps, instead of ps. Because you can't get your mouth in a p, and then it won't come out. And remember, they talk very quickly. And then they put an augment in front of it. So it's e from grafo, e grapsa. So you understand that right in here, there's a sigma sitting in there, because that used to be a what? A phi. Now it's been changed to a psi. And that happens occasionally. This is the augment, there's the infix. It's from grafo. And the alpha, by the way, is simply the aorist ending. So this is an aorist tense. I wrote, see, past tense. These things I wrote to you, ina, in order that, purpose, introducing a purpose clause. The next word is from that you may know, that you may have cognizance of, rather than simply knowing, that life, that life, echete, that you have, is what kind of life? Eonon, it's eternal. That's where we got eon from. Eons and eons. We talk about the eternities. All right, let's go back for the last 10 minutes and look at our first declension monstrosities here. Yes. Oh, didn't you get this? Oh, okay. I have plenty of them, by the way, if you don't have it. The next thing we're going to do, by the way, is we're going to go into the verbs. I'm not going to go into the third declension yet, because they get rather complicated. And here's the thing. If you see a noun, and it's not in the second declension, and it's not in the first declension, then you know it's got to be in the what? The third. That's easy enough. You may not be able to identify it immediately as to what case it's in, but that's not going to hurt you. All right, there are, if you notice, there are four different types of first declension nouns. The first declension we simply call the eta endings. The second, and both of these, by the way, are in fact feminine. The second is the rho alpha endings. Okay, meaning that the nominative singular form is rho alpha, or the nominative singular form is eta. Did you get that? Rho alpha or eta. Then we have two others, C and D, that are both masculine of the first declension, and they are eta sigma and alpha sigma. Okay? Now, I realize that there could be a problem if you saw alpha sigma in the, look at D, nominative singular, okay? Then go up to B and the genitive. That's also alpha sigma. You see it? But what's the difference? What e? Well, you don't see that. So you don't have the article. Yeah. What classification are the bees? No, they're not alphas. No, classification. They're row alphas. The row does not appear in the nominative singular form of alpha sigma. Do you see it? Everybody with me yet? That's why I included the ro in there, because it is a part of the ending. You see where the accent is? See how it tells you? Accent, ro alpha. And then in the nominative, under D, the nominative singular form, accent, alpha sigma. There's no row there. Again, under the A, we have eta, and notice where the accent is each time, right over the eta. See it? Okay. Under B, ro alphas. Under C, eta sigmas, and under D, alpha sigma. This is where Mark had problems last week. He didn't know what I meant by that. And I was simply, and I showed him afterwards, this is simply the nominative form, and we classify them always in the nominative form. I beg your pardon? See, two. It's actually poi e two. Because there, the omicron iota is not a diphthong. How do we know that? Exactly. And it wouldn't be anyway, because it doesn't begin the sentence. It doesn't begin the word. Diphthongs generally will be... See, you've got to remember that the breathing mark. No, but see, what ending? Yeah. It's masculine. Yeah, because two, look at two. So does the dative. That's a circumflex. The definite article in the genitive has the circumflex. So the genitive of the masculine will have the circumflex. Right? You see it? And of course, the circumflex can be written two ways, this way or like that. That's the way you would find it if somebody wants to get fancy. The idea is anything over the top is a circumflex. Anything underneath is a subscript. In the nouns, the subscript nouns are almost always in what case? Dative. Look at every dative case there. You'll see subscripts under them in the singular form. See it? A, tiki falli. B, T imera, subscript. C, to piot. Okay. And then D, to ne nia. Nienyas, by the way, can refer to anything young. In this case, it's a man because it has the omicron in front of the definite article. Sometimes it's even referred to something new. That would be more like... Yeah, that's okay. Yes, Mark. Yes.
Well, when we're looking at feminine, on the first dimension here, they're split 50-50. Are we still saying...
Yeah, but to see...
You just won't find them that much?
Yes. The question is that in the original statement that I made is that the first declension nouns are generally feminine. It still holds true. You're seeing here the masculine first declension nouns. There aren't that many of them. Yeah, it's split here just to show you the difference. But if you saw all of the feminine nouns against all of the masculine nouns of the first declension, it would outweigh... I doubt very much if there are more than, just a wild guess, 10 first declension feminine nouns, masculine nouns, whereas opposed to 75, you see, that would be the ratio. I can think of some right off the top of my head. O mathetis, o prophetis, the taught ones, the disciples, the prophets. Then we have o poetis, o nieas, okay? And then proper names, and quite frankly, I'm lost. That's how many I don't know. But when you go into the first declension feminines, oh, they go like crazy. There's tons of them. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That was a part of a lesson, a part of the book that I took out when I had my wife do these. And substantives are... Don't worry about them. They'll only scare you. So you could almost write down here in your notes that itas and rho alphas are feminine, and then eta sigmas and alpha sigmas are masculine. Now, just so that you don't get your mind blown, if you saw an article feminine with an alpha sigma, okay, that's just telling you what. It's feminine of that, but it's the D category of that first declension. That's all. Yeah. Remember I said that all nouns must decline within the classification of their declension. So all the nouns will decline as per A. If there happen to be, I'm just throwing this at you, if there happen to be a feminine article in front of a eta sigma, it would simply decline as it would in that C category. You see it? The difference would be that the article would simply do what? Would decline in its feminine form. I'm not saying you're going to find that. I'm just trying to get you to break away from the idea of locking into things. All right? Lock into the fact that nouns decline in the classification within their own declension. With the second declension, you have no problem. With the first, you have four different categories. Okay? Just keep them within their categories. Yes. Suppose it did, though. This is what I'm saying. If it did, you would follow the order of what? Exactly. And then decline the article likewise. I'm just giving you that so I can break you out of the mold of trying to either rhyme or to say that here it is, it's a row alpha and it must follow and so on. Be careful with that rigidity. Be flexible. You'll know later on why I'm telling you that. As a matter of fact, I can show you why I'm telling you that. You want to know why I'm telling you that? Okay. No, that's all right. Forget it. I was going to show you something here, but it wasn't going to work out, and I don't want to confuse you. Hey, any other questions on this? Next week we begin verbs of the present active indicative forms. I'll give you the paradigms. Matter of fact, I haven't run them off yet, but I have them here. And work on that assignment. Also, you know what you should be doing? You should be using your dictionary to build your vocabulary. In other words, just simply put down, you know, read it. Start with the A's. You should have seen Adam already somewhere. I do that occasionally. What I do is I bring up on the screen. See, I have in my computer that dictionary. The exact same one that you have. And so what I do is I just start on page 1, alpha, and I run through. I say, oh, I know all those words. Page down, the next one comes up. And then I run through, oh, there's a word I don't know. And I just look at it and I learn it. And I just keep doing that. So you should do that. That's the way you're going to build your vocabulary. And don't look up word, you know, don't try to memorize a word that's only used once in the entire Bible. And you would know that by looking at it. And stay away from proper names because you're going to have a problem with those. But for instance, when you get to the B's and you see vlepo, that's a big one. I see. Or I look. And the present active imperative form of that is quite exciting because it says vlepete. Well, how would you use that? How would you translate that? If vlepo means I see or I look, vlepete, present active imperative. Be seeing or more than that. Get imperative. Get commandatory. Look. Look out. Be on the lookout. Be on the watch. And that's how they used it. Vlepete. We have another expression that says ecto nous. Nous meaning from echo. Echo, but it's an idiom. Watch it. Ectonous. Have your head, have your mind. What does that mean? Vlepete ectonous. Exactly. See how you have to do it? And I heard that so many times as a kid. When you cross the street, be on the lookout and use your head. Okay. And some of those phrases...